Good evening. A couple of announcements before we get started. It was mentioned in the bulletin this week that Clifford Green from the Victory Road congregation, if many of you might know him, he had passed away. His services are going to be this Friday at Palm Mortuary on Boulder Highway, in case any of you knew him when you worshiped at Victory Road, if you knew him. Also, Tanya is sick today. She's home with a sinus infection, and I tell you, I got some drainage going on. To me, it sounds like my head's in a fishbowl. My voice is breaking. I sound like Bobby Brady from the Brady Bunch going through puberty today. So my voice is going to crack and so forth. But you know what? It's God's word, so I think we'll get through it. If you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians. This book was written about 62-63 AD. It was written by Paul to the Christians there in Colossae. And Paul was under house arrest in his imprisonment in Rome at this time. And there's a couple of issues. What we're going to do today is we're going to read the book of Colossians. We're going to read it together. And if you'd like to follow along, that's great. I'm reading out of the New King James Version. If you would like to just listen, that's fine. I would encourage you to read along. We're not going to be going bounce around to some other verses. We're just going to read God's Word. As I was reading this and looking at it, I was thinking, as they read it the first time, when they got that letter from Paul, as with any of his letters, like to the Christians in Philippi and Thessalonica and so forth, how they probably were listening to every word, listening, sitting on the edge of their seats, anticipating the next concept. There's a number of concepts that Paul addresses in here. One is encouragement to the Christians in Colossae. Hang in there, stick to the doctrine. Some of the issues he was addressing was there was an issue with Gnosticism. The Gnostics were a group of philosophers that, amongst other things, they promoted that you can't understand everything that we can. You need us to understand stuff. And Paul's kind of addressing, no, you don't need them, and that they're teaching false doctrine. He encourages them, and with the work that they're doing, you see toward the end of the book when he's kind of closing down and giving his greetings and so forth, he mentions Mark, who had departed him in the work. Paul and Barnabas had parted ways over Mark. It shows me that they had patched things up, that Mark was serving him again, and that brothers can disagree, but serve in the kingdom together and work in the kingdom, encouraging the work that is being done there in Colossae. But let's just read it. I'm going to take my glasses off. Most people have to put them on. I have to take mine off to read. Starts off in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through the blood, through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him all fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable in His sight. If you indeed continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of His body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to His saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and telling every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Therefore, let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Let no one defraud you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase which is from God. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgences of the flesh. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you also once walked when you lived in them. But now you must also put off all of these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your own husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for the wrong which he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, give your servants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us the door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Tychicus, who is a beloved brother and faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they will make known to you all the things which are happening here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. With Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instructions, if he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice. These are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God, who are of the circumcision. They have proved to be a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you, and those who are in Laodicea, and those in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and Nymphas, and the church that is in his house. Now, when this epistle is read among you, see that it is read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. This salutation by my own hand, Paul. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Amen. What a wonderful passage that was. That took us about 17 minutes to read together. Think if we spent 10 to 15 minutes daily reading the Bible, how much it would enrich our lives. I look at that and I think, what did they think the first time they read? And you know, they read it and reread it time and time again. They sent it to the church in Laodicea. They got the one that hasn't survived history, the letter to the Laodiceans. Wouldn't that be interesting to read someday? Or to know what was in that? Paul urged the Christians there that he's never met. They're linked by the blood of Christ. They are linked by fellow workers. We know people that you know. We know some of the same people. We in here today, we do the same thing. We get visitors that, oh, we used to worship with a friend of yours. And or we go someplace on vacation and, oh, so-and-so, you need to go see him. He used to go to that congregation or whatever, and you need to see him. And that happens all the time. But Paul is addressing Christians that he has never seen, but he loves dearly. And he wrote them a letter to stand fast, to be encouraged, not to get caught up in worldly issues. He addressed just about every kind of person, husbands and wives, parents and children, servants, masters, one of whom is Onesimus, which he will write a personal letter to Philemon, the owner of Onesimus. And maybe this week you could read the letter of Philemon, and it might. Onesimus had run away as a servant slave, and Paul is going to send him back. And when you read the letter to Philemon, kind of keep that in mind that he is now a Christian. He's not just a former slave of yours. He is now, after contact with Paul, a brother in Christ. If you need to respond to the invitation tonight, I am pretty sure every one of us have been baptized into our Lord Jesus. We have been added to His church. If you need prayers of the congregation, if you need to repent of sin, there's a difference in sinning and living in sin. Paul addressed that in the book of Colossians. If you need to repent, please do. There's no better time than right now to repent. Whatever your need, please come forward while Don leads us in the invitation.